Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, the Chuck and Julie Show, brought to you by
AmericaCitizenPress.com and Denver's Cinegenics with Dr. Julie McCallan. I am wearing my 4th of July outfit.
Me too.
So is Chuck. So is Chuck. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Lots to celebrate today. Lots to talk about today. And one thing we can totally celebrate is the fact that ketchup and relish are down. Like 16 cents, down pennies.
The whole barbecue will cost you 16 cents less.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, if you want to have any meat or hamburgers with that, corn on the cob, you want to use your grill with, maybe if you wanted to have a deck.
But Jan Psaki said to a snarky question saying, well, if you don't care about hot dogs, it doesn't matter. But America must say, and Joe himself said, I'm not answering any negative questions. The 4th of July, everything's going great. Only positive questions.
Only positive questions.
I wonder if Trump had tried that.
Yeah, only positive. Well, we would never know because YouTube is now also pulled the Right Side Broadcasting Network from YouTube for carrying the Trump speech. So there you go. Just in time for his other speech. You know, don't buy it. We'll talk more about that a little bit later because one of the other things the Democrats are also trying to con us on, and we've been talking about on this show, is this LEAP 25. It's Ballot Initiative 25. Basically, what it says is it's for the kids, and it makes it seem as if you, individual parents, are going to get all kinds of money to throw at their kids after school and things like that. And then you actually read it, and it turns out that basically a committee appointed by Jared Polis will be awarding contracts to Jared Polis's friends and cronies to basically indoctrinate your children into far-left progressive.
Well, and it covers just not tutoring. It covers health care.
So
you can get $1,500 for Planned Parenthood, which of course you want to do. You want to get the millions. What you can be assured is it won't go to any grassroots or conservative organizations.
And nor will it probably, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, nor will it probably teach anyone how to multiply when all is said and done either. But some foolish Republicans, including some of the leadership in the Colorado Republican Party, are saying, well, it's for the kids, so we like that idea. Yeah. And I think it's because they haven't read it, at least that's our hope. So one of the reasons we're hammering it here is we need to convince Republicans, do not fall through the Democrat con game. Don't believe Joe Biden when he says, oh, the economy is great. John, don't believe your lying eyes.
Is there's too many Republicans who want to con you with it. And the executive committee of the state central committee, which composed about 23 people, is voting on whether to approve it for
recommend
voters.
Republicans.
Recommends vote on it. We got that defeated 9-8, but they're going to bring it up again this coming Friday. And I think it'd be really tragic.
It would be, yes. All right. So we have with us a former state legislator, Ted Harvey, one of the good guys, political commentator. Ted, hey, thank you for your time. Happy 4th of July. Thank you.
Glad you're able to save 16 cents on
your Yeah.
But the cost of gas to go pick up those hot dogs is about twice what it was a year ago.
I know.
Why don't you tell everybody, most people know who you are, just a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, most importantly, I served in the state legislature for 13 years, 5 years in the state house and 8 years in the state senate, and have been trying to lead a conservative movement across the country for the last 8 years or so as the chairman of a pretty influential PAC. First, it was the Stop Hillary PAC and made sure Hillary didn't step foot in the White House again, and then changed the name on November of 2016 to the Committee to Defend the President, one of the largest pro-Trump PACs in the country. Right. And then on January 20th, changed the name to the Committee to Defeat the President. Biden and his radical agenda is not successful in getting through Congress or impacting the American people.
All right.
Well, tell us what you think about Initiative 25 that is being pushed by the chairman of the Republican Party of
Bill
Colorado,
Ritter, Bill Owens.
Bill Owens.
That should make you skeptical in the first place. But.
Yeah, Luke Ragland of Ready, Colorado. Ready
well, also work. Now the head of the money distribution of the Daniels Fund, too. Yeah. I wonder. But anyway, that's our opinion, Chad. What's yours?
You know, I have read it, and I think it's it's an interesting effort to try to help kids that need help. I just disagree with the way it is being laid out in the initiative. The proponents are saying, let's increase taxes up to 5% on recreational marijuana. And right now, we already tax recreational marijuana substantially. And so now, you know, everybody is looking at that tax revenue stream as the golden goose.
Yeah.
And so they're saying, well, how can we tax this golden goose to bring in more revenue for what we want to do? And I think it's a valiant objective to try to provide resources for low-income families to provide educational opportunities for their children. But I don't believe that we should be doing it in this manner. I think that we should be focusing on providing kids in the classroom
right.
Those services that they need. And if we are going to, right now, the medical marijuana providers, they are already taxed significantly
yeah.
and they don't get any business personal property tax write-offs because
yeah.
on a federal level, they're not recognized. So they don't get any of that. We're already taxing them about 80 to 85%. And
wow.
so now we're saying we're going to increase taxes up to 5% by the time this is fully rolled out. And that's only going to improve the environment for the cartel here in Colorado. And so there's multiple reasons why I have concerns about the initiative. And the fact that we're helping the cartels is one of them. But secondly, I think that it's not doing what the proponents want it to do. It's not providing a voucher to say you can go to
right.
whatever school you want to go to that provides you the best educational opportunity for your kids. It's just providing after school help. And like you all were saying in your intro, it's allowing Jared Polis to be able to predict to appoint who's going to be on that board. And then as board members leave, it's going to be the remaining board members that right. are going to be making suggestions to the governor of who will replace them. It's not
right.
going to be the legislature. It's not going to be a new Republican governor down the road. It's going to be Jared Polis's appointment today who are going
right.
to be making those decisions moving forward.
Well, and then on top of that too, correct me if I'm wrong here, but to me, one of the biggest concerns about it also is, so you, the parent, don't actually get to decide your child needs some additional homework help. They'll decide, number one, whether your child is eligible for that help. And number two, then they'll decide, and you don't get to go pick, say, you know, mathnasium or somebody that, you know, you think can teach your kid how to multiply or something. They'll also pick who gets the contracts to do the teaching, right?
Well, there is a criteria for who will get the resources first in line, and those will be people that are 100% of the poverty line, federal poverty line, and then those that, after that, then it'll go to those that are 200%, and then after that, it'll go to everybody else.
Yeah.
So there is a criteria out there, and the board will be assigned with determining what services are able to accept the money or not. And so it won't necessarily be the parent, it will be this board that determines what's in the best interest for these kids, not the parents deciding what's in the best interest
well,
for
it,
these
it
kids.
Is a little
and,
more
and I
it's a little more than
I'm
a
sorry,
social welfare. It's a social welfare program. I don't know how many billions we've wasted on Head Start, but it hasn't shown to have any value. At least they try to teach teachable skills. But this includes healthcare, wherever you want
right.
to find that. Psychiatric care.
Mental health care.
Mental health care, Planned Parenthood. I mean, they emphasized at the beginning the tutoring, but it's anything you want it to be. Anything they want it to be. And if you're going to have you know, the governor appointing them. He'll appoint some Republicans, but they'll be far left Republicans who will kowtow to the Democratic demands. This is just a massive wealth transfer to Democrats. Yeah. And the fact that people like Ready Colorado think this is what we need is just more state control, more state money,
more taxes,
more left-wing politics. That's the sad part about it. It will not be, you know, the people won't be signing up for that math class or anything else. It'll be everything else that the Democrats want. And I'm sure they'll prohibit any quote-unquote extremists from being able to teach any of these things. So,
and that's everybody anymore.
Well, yeah, no extremists will need apply to it.
And what is the definition of extremist, right?
You are an extremist. I mean, the guy who founded Defend the President, that's definitely an extremist.
The Nobel Prize winning doctor who was talking about ivermectin, he's an extremist.
No, he's an extremist. So let's give them, and this is a great part. It's set up to get to over a couple of years up to 5% tax. But this is a good part. They can raise it up to 15% at a later date. So this program will produce over $500 million potentially for Democratic piggy banks. And the Republicans can't wait to jump right on board.
I don't want to keep harping on it, but it's appointed by Governor Polis, and then it restricts the hands of future governors.
Yes.
And most commissions that we have out there, when a new governor comes in, he gets to have a say in who's going to be on those boards. Right. And this is setting up a situation that's saying that the board that's appointed by Polis gets to appoint the new board members that get to come in. And they make recommendations to the governor, what if it's a Republican governor? They're making recommendations.
Right. I'm just going to go out on a limb and predict how that revolving door is going to work. So let's say Chuck is on the board and I, Julie, launch a program that's going to help these kids. I'm going to provide mental health counseling for them. So Chuck, as my husband, now then awards that to me. Then I decide, okay, I've got enough money from this now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to quit. Chuck is going to recommend me to be on the board. And then he's going to take over the company.
It's a self-perpetuating oligarchy controlling $500 million slush fund that the left will control from now in perpetuity.
Well, it's not going to be that bad. It is approved by the Senate. So.
Kevin Priola. Let's see. The one that wanted heroin injection sites. Oh, boy. Thank God. I mean, the same thing happened. I just was a. You know, the IEC, which I get to watch a lot, appointed a new Republican chosen by the governor and affirmed by the Senate. They couldn't find somebody left-wing enough, almost. They had a guy who said, well, I'm not really a Republican. You're the man. This thing is, do they ever, Republicans, well, the trouble is, who are Republicans? I mean, is Owens a Republican? You know, the last time I saw him, I sent a photographer for my paper over to a fundraiser.
For Ken Salazar.
No, for Michael Hancock.
For Michael Hancock.
And who was there rubbing elbows and laughing with every Brownstein lawyer and everything else? It was our beloved former governor.
Bill Owens.
So, I mean, it's sickening. I mean, it's.
Well, so let me ask you about that in terms of to comment on what Chuck said, but also because that's my thing. Anytime, I mean, it's not like Bill Owens and Bill Ritter were just kind of sitting around some Saturday and they said, hey, Bill, have you heard about this LEAP initiative? No, it sounds great. And then they just on their own decided to write an op-ed for the Denver Post. I mean, somebody's pushing this and somebody is trying to line up the so-called bipartisan support. And so to me, it's a question of follow the money. Do you have any idea where this is coming from?
You know, I don't. And I think that's part of the problem is there is no checks and balances. There is no accountability. The legislature doesn't have any accountability. Once this is put in place, the elected representatives for the people of the state have no say over this authority and where the money is going and who's being approved and who's not being approved. So now we have all tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars going into this board that has no accountability whatsoever to the elected officials of the state, really not even the governor.
Right.
If it's a new Republican governor, they have no authority over this new board. And that should scare everybody. You know,
well,
I think that the basis for it, there's a lot of good things in the bill. If you read it, I think it has a lot of good intentions.
Like what?
If you look at the fine,
what's a good intention? Oh, I see. Is flim flam. Oh, it is the flim flam plan to make sure that Democrats control tons of money. It's just a con job. It is a utter con job.
I think there is no doubt that our public school system is failing inner city schools that are in poor school districts, that they are held captive to that school district simply because of the zip code that they live in.
Right.
And they're not able to leave that school district and go get help that they need. And this bill has the opportunity, the potential to provide those families an opportunity to get the educational services that they need outside of that failed public school system. But that's where the but comes in,
right?
Is that there's no accountability to this hundreds of millions of dollars and oversight to make sure that the taxpayers, this is tax money that is going into this fund, is being spent appropriately and has any accountability to the representatives of the state. And that, in my opinion, is the number one shortfall.
The other shortfall is you don't have to go to a public school, and almost 90% of the, I mean, our son's in a charter school, which is funded, so it's technically, but you know, in Denver, you can go to a charter school. You can go to a STEM academy.
There's not very many charter schools in Denver.
Well, there's some.
Well, they're getting rid of them,
but it's not that the
they're
kids
getting rid of them. The state has pretty much said we're not going to approve any more charter schools.
And that's a solution.
It's not going to be for parents who want their kids to get, you know, better math, and somehow during the school day they don't get any math, and now they're going to force them on to things. It's just going to be a huge Democratic controlled slush fund. And that there are no good intentions. All there are is a con job for the people who don't know how Democrats run things.
Well, and on top of that, though, let me clarify this too. And Ted, as a legislator, you would know this. This is a ballot initiative, right? So it's not as if later on the legislature could go in and change it. It would have to be voted on again to be changed, right?
It is a statutory change. It's not a constitutional amendment. So the legislature can change it, but legislators typically do not like to amend publicly initiated referendum that's been put on by the citizens. So unless there is something outrageously egregious, the legislature's not typically going to go in and amend it. But that's the problem with this bill. Is the elected representatives of the citizens of the state of Colorado don't have any oversight over this money. And that is where I have a significant problem.
And so where do we go from here? I mean, we do have, like Chuck said, the central executive committee, the Republican Party is going to be talking about this. You've got the head of the Colorado Republican Party, Christy Burton Brown, at least right now, throwing her support behind
it. Fully support.
How do we go about, or do you have any plans? I mean, great shows like this. But I mean, how do we go about educating Republicans to, number one, don't throw your support behind this. And number two, certainly don't vote for this and don't sign the petition.
Well, I think that is the number one thing, is to get out there on shows like yours and other shows across the state to say, don't just take the endorser's word for it, read what it actually says. And find out for yourself what the situation is. And I think when they do that, and I think Christy probably, as she starts to get the feedback on this, I think that there's some serious problems with this initiative. And the more people learn about it, the more they're going to come out and say, no, this is not what I'm supportive of. Go back to the drawing table. And if you think this is a great idea, go back to the drawing table and bring back forward something that it has more checks and balance.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on the executive committee. And so this was just brought up at a meeting. All of a sudden, boom. Luke Ragland comes on and to me gave a very persuasive but very one-sided presentation. All of it is just this Ronald Reagan would love it. This is the greatest Republican thing ever and so forth. And so we all said, well, at least a majority of 9-8 said, can we hear the other side? So we just hear from the proponents, just one from the proponents and nothing, you know, we just need to hear the prosecution. We don't need the defense,
guilty.
Yeah. Just have the left wing of the Republican Party run another fast one on us. And there we go. There's going to be a $500 million a year slush fund going out to Democrats, and the Republicans never get it, do they? Or is it?
$500 million slush fund at the control of the Democrat governor, Polis, for decades to come.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, Ted, thank you for your time and coming on. Let us know if we can help you and thank you for helping us get the word out.
Yeah, I really
this.
Appreciate people like you willing to take a stand, because there's so few Republicans out there that actually read things like you do and have your background in the legislature. And I know when Christy asked, well, who would you like to hear? I said, well, I'd like to hear from Ted Harvey.
You got nominated, Ted.
I don't know. Kevin Lundberg would also be good. But thank God there are a few actual conservatives left and Republicans left these days.
So thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Hey, and have a great 4th of July.
You as well. God bless you guys. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Ted. Hey, I see bye-bye. Mark Poff, who has filled in for us, been a guest host for us and also is on the school board. He had commented this would create an independent state agency. What about locally elected school boards? They would have no input on how the kid should be helped. Mark, if you're paying attention, if you want to maybe unmute yourself and turn your camera on, kind of want to get your opinion on it. I'm picking on you. You didn't know I was going to do this. But I mean, you were a school board member. But it seems to me that exactly the place to start fixing the schools is in the schools and then with the school board. Not some new, as Chuck says, agency bureaucracy that's going to have a
self-perpetuating bureaucracy.
What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I'm a person who believes totally in local control. So, I mean, anything that is, when I started reading through it, because I wasn't familiar with it until you guys brought it up, and then I Googled it real quick and went and read it, I couldn't get past the part where it said it's going to set up an independent state agency. Yeah. As soon as I read that, that just creates more bureaucracy. And, and everything that works well in government, which isn't very much, is usually the stuff closest to the community.
Right.
So that's why we have these local school boards. And again, and something like this is a one size fits all solution, which is Denver's telling everybody in the state of Colorado, we're going to come up with all the solutions. That's just not how it works.
Right.
Well, that is how it works.
It shouldn't work. Well, so you were on a school board. I mean, let me ask you, my big thing on this, on top of everything else and all the just like, why do we need more state agencies, is let's fix the school system we already have before we start paying the exact same people more money to come in. And like I said, it's like hiring a bad contractor to fix your house and then hiring him to do the repairs that he caused in the first place.
That's correct. It throwing money at a solution or throwing money at a problem does not create a solution. We've seen this in Detroit numerous times where they've thrown more and more money at their school systems and things have actually gotten worse. And I think the majority of the school board members have gone to prison because they're all stealing all the money.
Yeah.
Money's not the solution. It's initiative. It's putting the parents in control, which is why a lot of the educators are so concerned about charter schools.
Right.
Is because you allow the parents more control over what their kids are being educated, and you don't need to spend all that money.
Right.
And I think they've proved that.
Right. Well, I think that's...
And plus this thing, and I'm not, I haven't really looked into this a bunch. Just creating programs is not a solution. It's you need to change the mindset of the parents in a lot of these cases that they want their kid. They're going to look at this as after school or out of school stuff. They're going to look at that as, hey, that's additional babysitting.
Right. Yes.
So they're not worried about their kids getting a better education. It's a strong family that makes for great education when you have parents that get involved in their kids' education. You can create all the programs you want. You're just throwing money and it's not going to solve a thing.
You know, and Mark, you just talked about the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about because it's racist and we'll be canceled for saying it. But, you know, in my observation, having covered it, having had kids in school, when you have parents, whatever their social, economic, cultural background, when you have parents who are involved and engaged in their kids' education, the kids tend to do well and they don't need all this other stuff. They have independent, what do they call them? Independent education programs. If you have a special needs kid or if your kid is struggling in some certain area, that's there already.
Well, but what's also there right now is the machine we're on, the computer. I mean, if you want to read some great courses on introductory, let's say calculus, they're incredibly great ones on introductory calculus and otherwise, and also ones that are interactive that you can have them grade it. But the idea that they're every, and it's not going to be for the school kids. This is going to Planned Parenthood, every left-wing group in there will qualify, and they will make sure that anybody that's pro-Trump is considered extremist and removed.
Right. And again, the parents aren't going to control what their kids are being taught.
Right. Well,
so,
and again,
so who knows? This program's just a money,
you know, money pit,
cash cow for a bunch of companies.
Well, and nobody wants to say, and I think this is something that needs to be said, parents need to step up and do their job. If you have a kid that's failing, if you have a kid that isn't getting something, it's, you know, or understanding, I mean, I used to cover stories and you would talk to teachers where, you know, for the parent teacher conferences, right? I mean, they would like, no one would show up in certain school districts, right? No, I mean, when you have parents not even showing up for parent teacher conferences, not calling, and it's so easy, you could do it on the phone now. I mean, that's the problem.
Well, how many single parent homes are there? So, you know, don't worry about the parents because one of the parents, usually the male, is nowhere to be found.
And I mean, and I think that's a big part of the problem that's much harder to solve, but nobody wants to talk about that. And I think, you know, this again just allows them to continue to, like you said, destroy the family and take accountability, responsibility, information away from the family and stick it in the hands of bureaucrats.
Right. The foundation of education is the family. You can be in an actual, you know, in a, I don't want to say a bad school district, but a less than great school district. And if you have parents that are involved, the kids are still going to fly through school and they're going to do quite well.
Right.
But you could be in the best school district. And if you have parents that aren't involved, and that's why it all boils down to the family structure. And again, you can't bring it up because if you do, you're racist.
Right.
But the bottom line is that's the key and the foundation to all education is the family.
No, I agree too.
And the fact that the Republican Party Executive Committee it was 9-8 to not approve it until we had this other meeting or not approve it. Eight were happy just to get one side by a bunch of Republicans who are really Democrats. And they're happy with that. And the Republican Party, the more you get to be around it, the more shocked you are of how the left wing controls the Republican Party. Yeah. The donors are all, you know, the wives don't like pro-life candidates. They don't like Second Amendment candidates. And they just say, can't we be more like the Democrats? Let's
all dress like Jill Biden and we could be on the cover of Vogue. Yeah. Hey, Mark, well, thank you. I picked on you. You're going to be filling in for us again on the 19th, too. We've got more golf tonight.
Yes. In fact, I really would like to talk about, did you hear about the sheriff back in Maryland that was talking about the traffic stop?
Yes.
You might want to look. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit, how people are going to get officers in situations where they could get hurt.
Right.
But we're going to have a great time on the 19th. It's going to be all wonderful.
Right. Perfect. And we'll talk to you then before then, too. All right. Mark, hey, happy 4th of July. Enjoy your ketchup and relish. Yes. They're cheap right now.
I love hot dogs.
Thank you, Mark. Hey, anybody else wants to weigh in, just go ahead and turn on your mic or, you know, turn on your mic and your camera if you want to come in on camera. Some of the comments here, Mark Timon is like, how about the teachers teaching during school? Again, that's my biggest point. That's the concept.
But
there.
This is just a boondoggle. Right. They won't really get tutors.
Right.
It's just going to be babysitters, you know, get and a huge new bureaucracy that we're going to pour in anywhere from 150 to $500 million a year.
We have to save Leo. Leo was earlier on the last show. Leo had been telling us that his depression. He was curling up in a ball, and he was kind of worried. I think concerned that today on Party Friday we started out a little bit negative. So Leo, actually, we don't curl up in a ball. You can come out of the shower. You can get your beer toast for Party Friday. We have some good news to talk about today, and that's the Supreme Court and the Arizona election ruling.
Yeah, they ruled that Arizona's basically forbidding ballot harvesting, and it wasn't one of those fake forbidding ballot harvesting where you allow, only 10, and the Democrats will, of course, obey that. Said no one except family members.
So no ballot harvesting at all.
Well, they do, and the Democrats will cheat.
Right, but I mean, theoretically,
you can only have family members bring your ballot. So it's a real, because if they found that that's unconstitutional, or at least violation of the Voting Rights Act of 1964 or whatever it is, then we really were in huge trouble. So you don't win a lot. I mean,
this is a big one.
Poor baker, this is a florist
who Chuck, you're going negative. We're trying to be happy for Leo. Don't go negative. Hey, and I do.
Okay. Only positive decisions.
Okay.
Forget about that poor woman that has been oppressed by the LBGQ community, but don't worry.
No, we can talk about that too. Actually, open lines here too for the rest of the show. 888-627-6008. If anyone wants to call in, 888-627-6008. You can also pop in on Zoom, and then we'll read the comments that come in. But we do have a soundbite because the Democrats.
Leo's out. He's out of the shower, and he's got the shrimp cocktail in the corner.
Oh, there we go. All right. See,
It worked.
I want to play. The Democrats are freaking out, as you can imagine, saying that this is racist. Right now, everything is racist. I mean, no matter what it is, it's racist. And there, Carrie Severino was on Fox this morning, or maybe it was last night, talking about this. And she basically just said, give me a break. Thomas, if we could play the Supreme Court ruling soundbite, please.
And as the court pointed out today, these common sense voting rights or voting integrity laws, which are shared by dozens of states, include things like making you vote in your own precinct, something that the statistics in this own case said 99% of Hispanics, 99% of African Americans, 99% of Native Americans were able to do successfully when they voted in person. To argue that that is somehow racially discriminatory is absurd and scaremongering and shocking. And in the case of the ballot harvesting law, which simply says that campaign work workers and activists can't go collect absentee ballots for you, something that's rife with abuse. That's something that they couldn't even find statistics to say this was actually racially discriminatory. So this is just name-calling to try to undermine laws that are actually very common and sensible ways to ensure that people that make it really, it's easy to vote and hard to cheat.
There's a concept, right? Yeah. Make it easy to vote and hard to cheat. And the Democrats are like, backwards.
We can't win unless we cheat.
What's comforting to me, at least, because I think we're going to start seeing more election law cases. I mean, the attorney general of the country is going after it. But you have a Supreme Court, at least in this case, being reasonable and saying, well, no, there's no racism here. And, they're going to continue arguing that. But again, everything is racist these days. So I think so. There you go, Leo. There was a victory. One other thing that I think is kind of fun is that, and I mean, it's fun and yet it's scary, I guess, at the same time, is that Facebook, and I don't know if any of you guys got it. Let us know if you did. Facebook now is saying they want to know if you've been exposed to extremists.
You may have been exposed. And I have help for you. You'll be glad to know. You can call the Chuck and Julie show and get not Chuck and Julie show.
No. Hey, before we get that, though, we have Gary from Denver on line one. We'll take Gary. Hey, Gary. Thank you for calling in. Happy 4th of July.
A long time no talk.
Yes. Holy cow. We have to give you a whole segment here. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. IRS and fringe benefits as income that isn't reported is the latest news. And I was thinking of that when I called.
Ah.
What do you think about the lawsuit?
Well, let me ask you this. What about like Hunter Biden and some of his issues and the tax things there? I mean,
as I understand it, the Attorney General of New York, along with Sarah Vance, the Manhattan DA, cuffed and brought into a perp walk the guy because, among other things, they paid his parking fees and didn't include it into income. That was a good idea.
Parking fees.
Do you guys use Gary for our listeners? Gary works at the IRS. Do you guys usually handcuff people?
Yeah, handcuff them, you know, some executive.
Unfringed benefits. Perp walk
them out because he got his parking paid? Wow.
What do you think about
it? Well, I thought he surrendered. He came in on his own.
Oh, I know, but they had the arraignment. So they wanted to walk him by reporters, so they cuffed him. And they perp walked him by into the arraignment.
Because he got dangerous or extreme.
Yeah, who knows what would have happened? Yeah, he did come in on his own, but that doesn't mean you can't get some good perp walk on. No, no, no. You know, Cyrus Vance and the boys and girls figured that one out. Oh, heck. Well, we'll get him while he goes into the arraignment. Yeah, that's a good job.
What do you think about that?
Oh, I think he's, you know, he's got some taxes to be paid. And I think this is probably, he's only the first one. I mean, in the indictment, they described a second set of books. And I'll give you an example. They found an internal document from the Trump Organization where they identified the maximum salary that he and other employees could receive. And what they did was they deducted from that maximum base salary things like paid tuition, paid housing. And so on that second set of books, it was considered salary. And that's a pretty strong piece of evidence. And there are more than just, I think Trump's kids are probably in some hot water as well.
Well, luckily, Hunter Biden's kids aren't in the hot water. They can make every crooked deal they want. They can attack, molest small children. That's all good. Let's make sure that Biden's kids. Oh yeah, they're beauties. While Trump's kids, who are not coke addicts, are not
sex
banging
means.
All the strippers and so forth. We got to get them under control away. Because
for real, Gary, do you see
any problem with the politicization of the justice
disparity in treatment here?
Well, no, I think they should go after everyone, Biden.
That's true.
Let's jail everybody. Why have anybody out there?
And actually, although the state prosecuted for state taxes, they also in the indictment talked about it wasn't reported for federal taxes either. So that's going to crank the unpaid taxes from 5% to probably 25%.
Typically, though, Gary, you know, I mean, we are in a place right now where we're letting murderers out in personal recognizance bonds. In a typical case, let's pull the politics out. Let's just say that you were, you know, the IRS was looking at a case where similar kind of circumstances, only no politics involved, no politicians. How typically would that be handled? Would the person typically be handcuffed and walked in front of reporters, or would there be accountants and lawyers?
Or just shoot them.
Would you just execute them? I mean, typically,
our work is considered civil. So what you would do is basically, you know, charge them for the 8 years of back taxes. And they'd also have to pay, you know, failure to report, et cetera. And there'll be penalties and interest. And then if they agree to make all that payment, which this individual would have no problem paying, then he just annies it up and it's done.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's what should happen here.
Yeah. Well, I don't disagree with that part. I agree.
Yeah.
What else is on your mind these days?
Yeah, we haven't talked to you for a long time.
I've been working a lot on cryptocurrencies is my latest project. And, you know, we're finding a way to tax cryptocurrency like Bitcoin transactions. You may have noticed on your tax return, there's a new question that I asked you about. Have you engaged in any cryptocurrency transactions this year? And if you answer no, and we find out that you in fact were, you're going to get hit with some pretty severe penalties.
Can you find that out? I thought that was the whole kind of beauty of the cryptocurrency system, is that...
No, well, the breakthrough was we can issue what's called John Doe subpoenas to the brokers and basically subpoena their records of who's, you know, who's exchange made these transactions. And if someone reports, an individual reports no, answers no to that question, and they end up in one of these John Doe warrants, you know, identified, then they're not water.
So what you're saying is what we should do is just do the trading our own self. Don't go through broker.
Use an assumed name.
Yeah,
you have to, that's the thing with crypto. You must go through a broker. You can't do it on your own.
Okay. Unless you're a Chinese launderer for the cartels, then you don't.
Or Hunter Biden. You do have a Hunter Biden exception, don't you? He can do it. He should be able to do whatever.
Yeah, that smells too, you know. So hopefully they'll get all these clowns and round them up and send them my way.
Now, are you back at the office or are you still working from home?
Still from Mexico
from Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, wherever you're at.
No, I've been at home since last February. And you know what? I've gotten so used to it. I don't think I want to go back.
All right.
Once your home office is set up, it's just terrific to work from home. You know, you don't have to. I'm sitting here in my jammies, you know.
Well, you have to join us on Zoom next time.
Yeah,
then we can see.
Yeah, you can see the jammies.
Hey, Gary, thank you.
I will. Well, yeah, have a terrific holiday weekend.
Same for you.
Same for you,
same
too.
For you.
Okay,
care.
Thank you. Oh, Leah was saying it's the crypto tracing of Five Eyes thing. Probably. So here's the thing. I was going to switch to, because we don't have a whole lot of time left, the Facebook thing. So I'm sure everybody has seen this, or if you haven't, you will soon. So Facebook is doing, they call it a test. So, and they're putting up on some people's Facebook page, it says, you may have been exposed to extremists. And they say, quote, we care about preventing extremism. Others in your situation have received confidential support. And then they link you to this very progressive left-wing website that goes on and on. So I was feeling kind of bad because I've been checking my Facebook page. Because I have a lot of extremist friends, right? And I have not received the warning yet. And then Chuck said, well, that's because we're the people that they're warning against. And I wonder, can you be warned? Can I get some self-help for myself or something? But if anybody is on there, raise their hand or speak up too, if they've received this warning. But I think though, what is, once again, this is my kind of drumbeat on this. The scary thing is the Attorney General for the District of Columbia, the Washington, D.C. district, has subpoenaed Facebook, ordering them to release to the prosecutors, all users that Facebook determined spread COVID-19 misinformation. Now, just to give you a snap there, the numbers we're talking, Facebook removed 18 million posts for COVID misinformation. They warned about 167 million posts for COVID misinformation. So this is
And included in the COVID information was the fact that it happened at the lab. That was considered they recently changed that. So you can actually say what is obvious.
Masks, which again, it's why we got banned from YouTube because we talked about kids wearing masks, which of course the state health department now says what we said, and that is kids don't need to wear masks. Any of the other, misinformation, their fact checkers were just ridiculous there. But what should alarm all of us is the fact that they're not just warning you about extremism, they're doing that and they're identifying you and they're noting whether you want to get help or not, right? And then they're having attorney generals are subpoenaing this, right? And
from your computer to the jail cell.
For Facebook to go ahead. Now, there was a time, I think, in this country where Facebook would have resisted that. Facebook would have said, we're not turning that over. Phone companies would have said, we're not turning that over. Yeah. But not anymore. So they are, I guarantee you, they're right now, they're working on canceling free speech and canceling any speech that they don't like. And they are doing a very good job. But this is one of the first volleys in terms of criminal. criminalizing it. And that's why they're talking about hate laws and hate speech laws and hate acts. And it all goes one way, right? It all goes one way. Well, yeah. The extremism, I mean, they aren't worrying about Antifa. Yeah, and this is, Leo's absolutely right in the comments here. Fauci should be on the top of the COVID misinformation list. That's true, because which one of his comments would you take? It's like, but I think that's a very scary thing. I mean, it's funny in a way. Well, and it's funny in that it's become sort of a badge of whatever honor for conservatives. I mean, I was reading the Facebook posts, you know, where people were like me saying, hey, how come I haven't received the warning yet? And, you know, they're like, I have, I've been warned. But it's not funny, because I think in the end, what they're going to do is they're going to turn around and they're going to gather it and they're going to try to criminalize it. Don't you think?
Yes, of course they are. I mean, you're headed for a very wonderful time. Now, Leo, don't get depressed.
Yeah, don't get depressed, Leo.
No, we're in for a great time. I certainly hope this 2022 election is a good one, because if it's not, I hate to see what's going to happen.
Well, and, you know, you look at, you know, and apologies, to, maybe not apologies, but, you know, Ken Buck, I don't mean to be depressed about that, but that's great, Ken, that you want to look at kind of doing antitrust stuff, even though that's, I think, frankly, for the benefit of the more mainstream news organizations who want to make money instead of having Facebook take all the money. But I guarantee you, this is not, there's not going to be a result legislatively. Ron DeSantis in Florida, they passed a law saying they can't censor it, and the court put it on hold. Court said, no, can't do that, right?
Well, that still goes up to the circuit court, and that district is, that court of appeals is overwhelmingly Republican, so that'd be great. Hopefully that'll get overturned, but it may take a year or two or whatever else.
Well, and let's even see how that plays out. I mean, how does it actually work? So the court tells Facebook, okay, you can't censor Chuck and Julie for misinformation. And then, but now they say, well, now they're doing, it's not misinformation, it's hate speech. We can censor them for hate speech. Yeah. I mean, it's a never ending cycle. And I think what Republicans and conservatives, and I think frankly, you know, if you are a musician, and you got a YouTube channel, how long do you think it is, guys, before YouTube says, well, you're not one of our authorized musicians, right? You're not one of the musicians who's going through us.
Yeah, so now you may be an extreme musician. Beethoven was an extreme musician.
Right, we're going to monetize.
And so was Mozart. Mozart was very extreme.
What if they decide that they don't like country Western music and all of a sudden, right, yeah, you get demonetized and you're going to be banned. I mean, this is a vicious place where the oligarchs, they're starting with Trump. I mean, the Right Side Broadcasting Network was banned from YouTube for a week for broadcasting President Trump's speech. Now, if you don't want to listen to President Trump, if you think he's spewing misinformation, like any politician, you know, don't listen to him, but to ban them from YouTube. And so we need to, I think, wake up and realize this is...
Well, I think a lot of people have woke up,
right?
But is there enough? I don't know. It's an amazing process all the way through. Now, every morning I wake up and I go, is this the day that we get the Maricopa County audit results?
I'm beginning to hope that's not going to be like the Durham report, right?
It's the Durham report. How's Durham doing on the report?
He's working on it. He's on it.
He's very much on it. Let's see. I want to see another picture of that stern prosecutorial look. Oh, he's a no-nonsense guy. And we can hear Barr, I want the American people to know what happened. Oh, how is that going to happen?
I'm beginning to wonder. I mean, actually, because I am very skeptical about that. I mean, it seems to me on one hand, it's probably good news, at least for us, because if they came out, they're like, hey, look, we only had a 2-vote discrepancy, that wouldn't be very hard, and they just release it, right?
It's hard to read the tea leaves.
But I am kind of concerned that they've got it done. Everyone's like, yeah, they have it done. What did it say? And they're like, oh yeah, we can't tell you yet, you know. And
well, somebody else, you know, it is big news tomorrow. You kind of go, how many months?
Yeah, at first it was going to be Monday, then it was going to be a different day,
Saturday, and then Friday. And you're right, the Durham report, and this will probably come out at the same time.
And we'll have Michael Tow on, and then we'll really get banned. What else to talk about? 888-627-6008 if you want to come in or call in. Also, if you're on Zoom, if you want to go ahead and unmute yourself and turn on your camera. Oh, and before we move on, because I did want to talk about Jill Biden And Kamala Harris. But briefly want to say too, if you, we would love to have your support. We love the support where people listen, but also financial support. The BBS, the great folks at BBS have set up a subscribe link. You just go to their homepage or to the Chuck and Julie homepage at bbsradio.com and you can become a patron. The content's always going to be free. So don't worry about that.
But you do get to come to parties and we'll have lots of other great things.
Right. And the newsletter and things like that. So all, and we appreciate any and all support too, because you know it's sort of a unique business model that we have in that we pay for the podcast. And so again, any and all support is very much welcome. And somebody who could use the support, that was a segue there, is Kamala Harris. What what is going on with Kamala Harris?
They're all attacking her.
Everybody's attacking her. Politico.
Like Politico attacks her, Washington Post attacked her. It's just like universal attacking on the poor Kam.
And I gotta tell you, having been in the news business for almost 40 years, that doesn't just happen accidentally. Okay. Something behind the scenes is happening.
Jill hates
well, that's a, is happening that all of a sudden it's somehow everybody is talking. Everybody, I mean, all, both the mainstream media organizations, Politico, conservatives, liberal ones, all are attacking Kamala, saying that everybody hates her. Her office is in disarray.
Now you don't see have Jill coming out and go, oh, I love Kamala. No, no,
no, no.
She screwed up that whole border deal. I had it under control. Then she went down there and God knows what happened.
You know, and here's my suspicion on that. Well, this is even an Axios. They were quoting Axios people. And again, keep in mind, this is all planted. It's not necessarily real, but to me, it's very curious that the Democrats are in this much disarray that that this is going on.
No, they're not disarray. Joe's kind of going, hey, you know, I can be seeing Alan do this job.
Right. And that's what the people who run him are saying. Yeah, we like having Joe there.
Jill and all the other ones, and the chief of staff say, yeah, she's annoying.
I mean, well, and they were, Axios was quoting an insider. The White House insider, yes, and Democrat higher up people as saying, you know, it's not that like, hey, look, Kamala is, you know, the heir apparent, you know, is screwing up, you got to help her. They're like, no, she shouldn't be the heir apparent. She's screwing up so badly, we need to get rid of her. I think clearly there is a get rid of Kamala movement going
in
on.
In the Democratic Party.
In the Democratic Party, in the Biden White House. I mean, right, I don't know how. Where else is coming from? They could have squashed. You think if Politico, if they didn't want Politico to do a mean story about Kamala Harris, that Politico would be doing it anyway? Mm-mm. No, they wouldn't. Mm-mm. So they're doing it with somebody's blessing. And I, Jill. Well, okay, that's going to be my suggestion that Jill Biden, I mean, she's on the cover of Vogue looking awful. and what is this is catty. I'm sorry. But have you seen that picture of her with those weird stockings? It's like, like if you're 17, you can wear those thing, you know, kind of funky net stockings, or if you're a stripper. But if you're not, if you're over 17 and you're not a stripper, you shouldn't really wear those stockings.
Well, maybe she's a stripper.
Well, I know. Well, but I think that that could be what's going on. Joe Biden takes a pretty, kind of like Hillary Clinton, only I will say this, she seems to be not much more, but she's a little bit more likable than Joe Biden. Well, she's nicer.
No, she's not. She's awful.
She's awful. Well, she is awful. But anyway, I suspect that's what's going on. And I think we're going to see that playing out more. And it's going to be fun because I think Kamala Harris, she's not really a nice person. So she's not going to take that sitting down, I don't think.
She's going to start attacking Joe. She's going to have it.
Well, she attacked him in the primary, right? It's not as if they're besties or anything.
It must be a lot of fun over at the vice presidential office.
So, Leo, that's some fun news for you, too. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for us today. Thank you.
On that high note and fun note, you know, Jill Biden and her stripper socks. We got a 4th of July weekend and
fireworks to enjoy.
Fireworks and everything else. So save that 16 cents, eat another extra hot dog and enjoy it all.
Everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you to the great folks at BBS Radio. We will see you Monday. Have a great holiday weekend.
Bye-bye.